morning, folks.
Good morning.
Is everybody awake?
No.
We're here.
I don't know if my brain's awake, and if I slip up or something, you know, as you get older, you get into a routine. And when that routine is jumbled for certain reasons, the old mind jumbles. So, right? Oh, the song? 393 is the first one, Izzy, so you find that so you can sing a joyful noise. But anyway, our son and his two daughters were up from Tennessee this weekend, so I'm kind of like, and poor Pat, he didn't even make it today. I might be able to get him up at noon, I don't know, but he's wore out. So if I mess up, just overlook me. So. All right, I welcome you, and may the Lord bless you for your attendance. Let's go through if there's any announcements. Bob, I know you always have.
Well, I'm just going to repeat a little bit or tell you to look on the back of your bulletin. That's basically the announcements we've got right there, and pay attention to those.
Yeah, and at the church picnic, it says covered dish and dessert to share at your own place settings, but you also have to bring your drinks. The only thing the church is providing is the meat. Okay, so remember, you got to bring drinks. I see that's missing.
And please sign up.
Yes.
So we know how much.
Sign up sheets back there. We want to know how many people are coming so we know how much chicken to get. So please, before you go out, mark your name and how many in your family's attending. Okay? Anything else, Bob?
No.
Okay, don't forget the council meeting's there. I just give you a little pitch. You know, we, all of us, myself included, we can always get enthusiastic and lend a hand if it's a social event, whether it be a ball game, a picnic, or whatever. We're gung-ho and we're right there. What can we bring? So I'm going to put a thing out to you that what can you bring on Tuesday night? Are you about him? Are you about his business? Because this is his church and we're his children. So we should be here on Tuesday night. That doesn't mean you're going to get elected for an office. You can say, I decline, but at least you're here. If there's a vote needed, if there's a suggestion needed, please come. Please put him first, okay? I know you guys get tired of me being up here on a Sunday morning because I'm always preaching at you. Or even Brother Dylan gets there. Okay, a couple questions.
We enjoy it there.
One question I have, I got the slip for calendars. You know how I sell the calendars for VBS money? Like everything else, the calendars went up to $8, from $7 to $8 this year. I just would like some input, and you don't have to tell me right now, but if you tell me after church what you think, do you think that it's going to be hard selling? Because I don't want to get stuck with calendars, but yet I want to order enough that I don't have a lot of extra shipping. See, if you order like two boxes instead of one, they kind of give you a discount. So just give me your thoughts on, do you think that that's going to be a good sale in this day and age? So keep that in mind. The question box is back there with a pad and paper. If you have questions for the pastor on that's coming to Bible study the 30th. She's going to do like after Bible study. She's going to answer any questions you have. So please, and you don't have to put your name on it. Just put it back there. We thought, a couple of us thought that maybe people would feel more comfortable if somebody read the questions. And, you know, we just want to make it comfortable for her and for you guys. So there is a box back there. If you have a question, you don't think, you know, just put it in there. Or you can give it to me, whatever. Cleaning schedule. I've had it up for 2 weeks. I don't see anybody up there. And I know I'm tired, and I know you all are tired, especially after Rocky Ridge week. But anyway, if you can find it in your heart to give one clean, we're only doing it once a month for now to see how it goes, please sign up. I have it up there till the end of the year. Okay. If I can't get enough people to help, then we'll have to go back to paid cleaning. And when I suggested this, I just was trying to save the church some funds. That maybe we could put the funds in other directions, because this day and age, we need to be outreach. We need to outpass those doors. Okay, any others? All right, I'll get off my soapbox now and we'll get going. All right, let's put our hearts and our minds quiet. Let's listen to the prelude. Comes from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you, and they shall sing praises to your name. Shalom. With that, those words on our hearts, can we just come to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just thank you that we can have a joyful heart, that you reside right within our heart. Father, may we always show that love and joy that comes from having you in our heart to others, so that they want a bit of a taste of what we have. Father, we see today that our sermon title is Follow the Leader. Father, our prayer is this day that we follow you in your ways. And we ask that you be with us, guide us, and direct us. And it is in your precious name we ask all things. Amen. Okay, Izzy, we're going to sing now. You ready?
Yes.
Stand for Abel.
Hear my Savior calling.
Okay, now's the time that we can share our joys and concerns. It's a joy to have Lizzie here. She livens us up. Because we need that some days. Well, every day probably. Nance? Yes, we have newlyweds.
Everything went beautiful and the Lord was there.
That's good. I saw Chelsea afterwards and it looked like she had her hair curled pretty, but the humidity was just taking it right out. Okay, whatever.
It was a joy to have perfect weather for the carnival and all who attended enjoyed and just shared in the good food and all those that made it possible. Blessed there, and we had good attendance in the parking lot here for people to come and enjoy. So we're just grateful for that, and grateful for life itself and being part of God's creation.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Anyone else? Okay.
My friend Donna's nephew, and I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Little. He has a brain tumor. He's going in for surgery tomorrow, so he certainly needs prayer. And then her brother-in-law is.
You say her brother or brother-in-law?
Brother-in-law.
Keep my list, unspoken request. And I know there's many in the family and in our church that do need lifted up and has ailments, but keep Mom on your prayer list. Her legs are really giving her a fit. And Dad with his back and stuff. And the joy is to have Dylan here.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a joy, and we're so glad that you're here with us today.
Yes, indeed. I saw another hand. Oh, Bob? Yeah, you only got one turn, Bob. You done used it once. I'm just kidding.
I back up what Jerry said about Brother Dylan. We're grateful for his presence and Maria.
And Izzy.
Izzy. No, mine just don't work right anymore. But anyhow, we're grateful for that and privileged to be with them. And, I'd like to keep our church and all churches and its members, because things aren't easy to get and go and operate anymore and be safe. So we want the Lord to be in the midst of it and keep us all together and in His grace. And our government and the leaders of our land this day, that God might provide some common sense to them to allow things to get a little better and move in a different direction.
Frank, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I like continue to keep Pat in our prayers, and Tammy's husband, I understand he's still having a lot of problems. His name's Nate.
Will.
And the family, and of course Danny, and all the group that helped at the Fireman's Carnival. I'm telling you what, they really had to put out a lot of work to make that successful, and it was very successful. And I want to pray also for the country of America and the world as a whole. It certainly needs the prayers and the blessings of the Lord.
Yep. Nothing new under the sun, as yep. Brother Billy said the other night. Nothing new under the sun. Danny? I have a joy. We had spent the weekend with our son Josh and his daughters. They came up from Tennessee, and I just asked for safe travels back today, especially because I know Josh has a little bit of lead foot, so let's just pray for that. And Our grandson Colton goes back to college today, so he has a long trip by himself today, driving back to Wilmington, North Carolina College. So, just keep them. And I just, some of that I had wrote down here have already been said, but don't forget those that are shut in the nursing homes. I think of Loretta, that she wants to come home so bad, and she's far away that her family can't come see her. Well, her husband couldn't anyway because he's shut in his own apartment. So just pray for Loretta. And if there's any time that you know of somebody that's stuck in a nursing home, send them a card. If you can't visit, send them a card. You don't know how much that means. And I was thinking of our families. We need to pray for our families. Not only for our church families, this directory that I pray for all the time, but we need to pray for our families today, all families, because our kids are being indoctrinated and it's the wrong way. And when you take God out of their lives, where are they going to be? And if we as parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles don't enforce God's word, even just in passing conversation to them, you don't realize that may trigger something inside and say, hey, well, maybe my friends out here or my school out here, maybe Nan's right. Maybe I should be listening to Nan. So let's just pray for our families.
I forgot to a few seconds ago. We should keep Dick on the prayer list because Friday we went to her grandson's wedding and she ended up leaving. The reception had just started. She had a lot of pain. She told me she was going to try to make it to church this morning, but she isn't here. So she's had an awful hard time with her back.
Yeah, and that and her blood pressure.
Your prayer book back here on the back to them. So many times that's forgotten, and I do too.
Yes,
there's
prayer
many
book.
Names that we don't lift up verbally, but they are written down, and I'm sure God has them all written.
And let's pray about the church finding a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And a godly shepherd, one that will lead us in the right direction. You know, I'm in the book of Jeremiah, and Lord talks about those that were shepherding flocks, but they weren't shepherding them in the right way.
Along with that, though, we need to consider it a joy for everyone that's been helping us out.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. Well, I think that's a God's blessing. I think he's working upon the hearts of, like, Pastor Dylan, Pastor Sam, and he's even moved your schedules so that you could come. So, yeah. Truly a blessing for all those that have filled in. Okay, any others? All right, let's come before the Lord how you are most comfortable. And let's give him our time and our heart right now. Dear Heavenly Father, here we are again. Another week has gone by. Another week that has been filled with blessings, even from the smallest blessing of just getting a card in the mail from a friend or a text, to the largest of blessings like getting a good report on a medical test. There's so many things we have to be thankful for, Father. We thank you for the answered prayers, the healings that you have taken charge of. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. And we just thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, your Son, Jesus. He went on that cross willingly to die and shed his blood for our sins so that we may have an opportunity to grasp eternal life and be in heaven with you one day. Father, now the list is many, and if I miss over one that's request that's here, Father, I know that you have heard it and you've already are working on it. Because we know we serve a 24/7 God. You don't take a lunch break. You don't take a vacation. You're there all the time, and we're so thankful for that. Father, now we lift up Francis. We lift up Loretta. We lift up Donna's nephew. got a serious illness. We lift up her brother-in-law who has surgery. We ask that you let place your hand of healing hand upon him and that you guide the doctors and the staff in the surgery. We think of Linda and Bob with their struggles and all, even though they have many struggles with their health, Father, they're always opening their doors and welcoming people in and being servants to them, Father. So we just ask that you would bless them. We think of Pat and Wilton and Danny and Kathy who have tests this week. Father, we just pray that you would be there in the midst and that you would let the test be a good report. Father, I think of Ralph, that he struggles with health issues, but he never gets down. He's always got a positive attitude, and we know, Father, that's from you. We know that you are residing in his heart, and you're getting him through, and we just thank you for that. Father, we think of those that are traveling this day. We think of Caleb, who's in flight. We think of Josh and the girls who are heading back to Tennessee, and Colton, who's heading to North Carolina. Father, we just ask that you would send them traveling mercies, that you would make the road be wide and free, that they could travel unharmed without any incidents. Father, we think of the community efforts of the Fireman's Carnival to raise money for the fire company so that when we are in need, they are there. They have the equipment they need. They have the personnel that can come and lend a hand. Father, we think of the newlyweds. What a joy to start a new life together. We ask that you would bless them with much love, much joy, and many, many, many years of healthy, happy home life together. Father, we pray for our prayer book in the back. Sometimes those unspoken requests back there go unnoticed, but we know that you know that they're on pen and paper and you see. So, Father, we just lift that book up to you this day. We lift our directory up to you, that you would touch the hearts of those listed, the families, young and old alike, that they would get a burning desire to come back to your house to worship, honor, and praise, and serve you, Father. Father, we think of our government leaders. We just ask that you would, I know they don't usually ask you for your opinion or your help, but you kind of nudge them, Father. You kind of nudge them in the right direction. And where they fail or falter, you turn it for good. For see, Father, this is our home, the United States of America. And we want to live in a land that we can prosper, that we can teach our families, our children, your word without being accosted or put under pressure. Father, we just ask that we would have that freedom, that it would be truly one nation under God. And let us learn when we pick up our Bible, let us learn of the old ways, like in the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah, when the prophets preached to the people about turning from sin and turning to God. Father, let us learn from history. Let us do right and do your will. Father, we think of the council meeting coming up, and we just ask that you would put it upon every heart that they would want to come and participate in your meeting, in your house. Father, there's many, many more prayers, and I'm sure I've missed them, but where I fail, you just lift them up. You touch them. You heal. You guide wherever needed. Father, lastly, we just give you thanksgiving and praise for Brother Dylan. Father, us sending him to us was a blessing. And Father, we just ask that you would touch him with special blessings, him and Maria and Izzy. Prosper their family and keep them healthy and keep them going about your business. And Father, when he stands behind the sacred desk, that your words would flow freely. and that we as listeners would open our ears and our hearts and our minds and be like a sponge and absorb what he has to say, what he has to teach, Father. So, Father, we just thank you for him. Thank you for his family. Father, lastly, I just want to thank for those in the church that do the work, the working hands that make it possible that the doors stay open every Sunday. Give them a special blessing. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And now may we unite our hearts and our prayers in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, now I won't miss the hymn this time, Joy. Izzy 401, you got it ready?
Oh, she
went to the back.
Please stand.
Please stand. Hymn number 401. Ephesians 4, 20, verse 22 through chapter 5 and verse 2. And the title is Follow the Leader. How many of us remember playing that as a child? Follow the Leader. That you put off concerning your former conduct, that the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, and true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather that let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen. Now let us give Brother Gillen our undivided attention.
Who here knows that they are a new creation? I'll ask again, who here knows that they are a new creation in Christ?
Yahoo!
I mean, I know I might be on the younger side of some of the people here, but regardless, it's a big deal. Being a new creation in Christ. As we read in those verses, all of this stuff can be put away. It says, put on your new self. Something important, and in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the Lord inspired Paul to write, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So guess what? If you think you might be 70 years old, you're not really 70 years old, because at a certain point in your life, the old got put away and you started fresh. You might be 60 now. You might only be 5 now. You're a new creation. All that old stuff is gone. And this new life that you have has a special attribute to it. You see, God doesn't just leave us to wither away. We look at verse 30 of what was read. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. The New Revised Standard reads that you are marked with a seal. See, those who acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior are sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed. The Greek word used there, suphragidzo, means to stamp with a private mark for security and preservation. God has placed his family crest on you. You who have accepted Jesus Christ, you have the kingdom of God's family crest on your soul. Securing your place in the coming kingdom and preserving you for that time, taking care of you, supporting you, uplifting you, guiding you, directing you. And you receive that protection because of one action: having faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 clarify that therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We are justified by faith. Faith alone is what justifies you to receive that family crest, that seal of protection and preservation. You see, faith in the Son of God, that puts you in the capital C Church. Doesn't just put you in Monocacy Church of the Brethren. It doesn't just put you in the Church of the Brethren. It puts you in the capital C Church. As part of the body, and as part of the church, as part of that body, you become part of the Bride of Christ. And as part of the Bride, you receive adoption from the Father, God the Holy, Almighty. You are adopted as a child. So therefore, as God inspired Paul to instruct the church, the capital C church in Ephesians 5:1. So therefore, because you have accepted Christ, therefore, because you have become part of the church, therefore, because you are part of the bride of Christ, therefore, because you are a child of the true God, be imitators of God. God, Paul is saying, needs to be the leader of your journey. God needs to be the leader of your journey. And so often, we unintentionally get this wrong. Even in the church, I've been there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 11, 1. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everything and everything I do, Paul writes, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul is clarifying here. Only follow in my footsteps if my footsteps are leading to the Father. If I'm following Christ and I'm going to the Father, yes. But if I am not, do not follow me. In Ephesians 5:21, Paul clarifies that be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. As it be servants, look out for one another, take care of each other, not to edify yourself, not to make yourself feel good, not because someone else told you to, but do it out of reverence for Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for you, do that for others. Not because you were told. And really, if you keep reading in Ephesians 5 beyond that, that's where you get the wives submit to your husbands. And you get into husbands, love your wives as Jesus Christ loves the church. See, this subjection to one another, this servanthood of one another, this serving, this looking out for each other out of reverence for Christ, it does begin in the home. Paul isn't saying just wives submit to your husbands, but he's really saying, husband, you better be loving your wife as Jesus loves the church. And in doing so, your wife should be hearing what you have to say. Not submitting down on her knees, bowing to you, but she should have your back. She should be caring for you. She should be uplifting you in prayer and taking care of you as you take care of her. Because guess what? Jesus didn't just love the church and just say he loved the church. No, he served the church by putting himself on the cross and sacrificing himself for each and every one of us. So we need to be following Christ. And because of that, we need to be looking out for one another, following him in his footsteps, not just because someone else tells us to do it. And we need to make sure we don't get the roles reversed in who we're following. You see, look what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. What is set up in the beginning? God creates Adam, and out of his rib, Eve is formed. And all is well as Adam is following God. I'm not a big fan of all of his sermons, but I saw one time Pastor T.D. Jakes did a really good illustration of this in a sermon one time. And he brought this couple up on stage. And he tells the husband, he's like, all right, God's over there. I need you to walk towards God. I need you to walk in his direction. And he told the wife, he's like, see, your husband is following Christ. He's following God. Make sure you're following, going in the same direction he is. And that's how it was set up. The husband's walking towards God, following God. The wife is following the husband. Oh, yes, God is this way. Watching along the way everything that God is doing. And then as soon as Satan comes into the picture and tricks Eve, mind you, tricks Eve while Adam is there. If you read that, you'll see Adam was there when it happens. She didn't have to go somewhere else and give Adam the fruit. No, Adam is sitting there watching this conversation between the serpent and Eve, between the serpent and his wife. Doesn't intervene, but she gets tricked. She eats the fruit, passes it off to Adam. He eats as well. So what has happened? Rather than Adam following God and Eve following Adam as he follows God, Eve is now has now followed the serpent, and Adam is following her. God's still over here. The serpent's over here. Instead of walking this way, now they shifted this direction. Be careful who you're following. Make sure whoever that you are following is following Christ, is following God, is following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, Peter clarifies. That for to this you have been called. He's talking about suffering. In 1 Peter 2, for suffering you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you should follow in his steps. Following in Christ's steps, not someone else's. Not someone who's taking you a direction that's away from God. No, you need to see where God is in your life and make sure the person that you are following, if you're not following Jesus Christ first and foremost, if you are getting guidance through this spiritual walk in life, because you know what? We can't always do this alone. There are many times in my life where I had to look to someone else for help, and I'm like, show me the way. Show me how to get back on track to Christ. Because I stumble. I fall. We all do once in a while. But make sure that the ultimate example, the leader of your faith walk, is Jesus Christ. The leader of your life is Jesus Christ. Because he clarifies in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. He knows them, and they follow him. Are we following Christ? Be careful that the person you're following is not walking the other direction. And ultimately, your goal needs to be, as we read in Ephesians, to be imitators of God, of Christ. And one thing that was explained to me a few months ago that really struck a chord is, I've even said this. I've heard it said many times. When we look back on the pillars of faith, we say, have faith like Abraham. Dare to be a Daniel. Have hope like Moses. We say those things. You know what? They're not God. They're not the Savior. Don't have hope like Moses. Have hope like Jesus did in the garden. Knowing that even though it might have not been what he really wanted to do, to be separated from his Father and take on the wrath of God. Because he said, if it's your will, take this cup from me. When he knew it was not in the will, okay, God, I will do it. And I have hope in you. I trust in your plan. As Abraham had faith, you know what? Jesus had faith that the plan was going to work through. As far as daring to be a Daniel, the word says be imitators of God. Because Daniel was great, but he was not God. He had his imperfections. Now, for someone like Paul, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If that direction that you're following, if that person that you're going towards is leading you to Christ, and that's the direction they're going, yes, follow them, because they are following the leader. I want to encourage you that you are justified by Jesus to go like God while you are sustained by the Spirit. You are justified by Jesus to go like God while you are sustained by the Spirit. It is not about following the best self-help book that's on New York Times bestseller list. It's not about following the new inspirational speaker. It's not about following that new person who has the great financial plan to relieve you of all of your debts in life and set you up for retirement. It is about following Christ. While some of those tips are good, while some of those people do have great things to share, you need to look. Are they leading me to Christ? Are they leading me somewhere else? Am I being led to self-gratification? Or am I being led to glorification of the Father? Where are you being led? Where are you being led? You see, as followers of God, as those led by the Father, our actions should be depicting that. They should be exemplifying who we are following. They should be exemplifying the leader. And I have to admit, this is something I was worried about in preparation of the sermon. We're going to have to hear a little bit more of this in 2 weeks. Because I have more to share on this. And what it looks like following. What is your life going to look like as you follow the leader? So I'm going to leave you this morning with that instruction to make sure whoever you're following in this life, whoever you're looking for help from, whoever is guiding you along, whoever is giving you tips, whether it's for personal well-being, financial security, whatever it may be, make sure that person is following Christ. Because if they're not following Him, you could be led astray. And I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen to a single one of you. And I encourage you, if you see one of your brothers or sisters in Christ, if you see someone in life, not even just a brother and sister of Christ, if you see someone who hasn't even accepted the Savior, and you see them stumbling off in the wrong direction, reach out a hand. You don't have to shove Scripture down their throats, but reach out a hand of help. Because if you're following Christ, if you're following the leader, if you're going in that direction, and you grab them by the hand and say, come with me, just like you said with that old game as kids, follow the leader, let's go this way. You don't have to directly tell them where they're going, because eventually they're going to find out. I have a friend of mine I used to work with. He's coming on a men's retreat next month, in about a month from now. He's come to church a time or two. He's talked to me a little bit about it. But this weekend retreat, I gotta say, he has no idea what he's in for. All he says, hey, you want to come to this men's retreat? It's like, sure, I guess. You haven't led me wrong yet. Haven't led him wrong yet. I've had good things to share. It's all the stepping stones. So I didn't start with this guy where this is what the Bible says. I've offered that helping hand. I've encouraged. He's been willing to hear what I have to say. You know what now? If I say, let's go this way, he says, okay. He might not know where he's going. Just like these people in your life might not know where you're taking them. But as you encourage and uplift, as they see it exemplified by your life, which we will get into in 2 weeks, as they see that, they're going to say, okay, you haven't led me wrong yet. Let's see what kind of crazy plan you have in store for me next. What does this wild journey have in store? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that as we've accepted Christ and become part of the church, as your bride, the Savior, that you've adopted us as your children, and you've given us the family crest to seal us for security and preservation for the kingdom that is to come. So as we've been given that family crest, as our soul has been marked with your holy seal, Lord, may you be who we follow. Not these things that the world has to offer, but you first and foremost. The things of this world that can lead us to you, Lord, we thank you for those. The people in our lives who can lead us and direct us to you. But I ask that you may be held accountable by your Holy Spirit to follow you first and foremost. That you be the leader, guiding us to the Father, getting us to that glorious home that we know is coming. There is so much more in store. May I not be led astray, Father. May I continue walking in your footsteps, moving forward, being open to where people lead me. It's the only reason why I'm up here this morning, Father. Because I let one lead me. I needed help. And you send one of your children to grab my hand and show me a new way. Christ's way. May that be what we do. Either take someone by the hand and be led along, or reach out our hand to God and may our lives be picked up, Father. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You'll stand as you're able for our last hymn, number 505, Footprints of Jesus. Church, as the bride, as those led by the Father, as those justified by Jesus, may we go like God, while we are sustained by the Spirit, grabbing hands, leading along, following Him first and foremost, and ensuring as we look ahead to whatever line we are in, that the head of the line, the leader in this journey of ours, is God, the Father, the Holy, Almighty, and one true ruler of heaven and earth.